relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
I am Rush Limbaugh, and I want everyone in this room and every one of you around the country to succeed. I want anyone who believes in life, liberty, pursuit of happiness to succeed. And I want any force, any person, any element of an overarching big government that would stop your success, I want that organization, that element, or that person to fail. Our beliefs are our hearts. We don't have to make notes about what we believe. We don't have to write down, oh, gee, does I believe it? Do I believe? We can tell people what we believe off the top of our heads, and we can do it with passion, and we can do it with clarity, and we can do it persuasively. Some of us just haven't had the inspiration or motivation to do so in a number of years, but that's about to change.
One of the rare, rare public speeches in recent years of Rush Limbaugh. That was CPAC 2009. You need to listen to the whole speech. It's available online. Eric, let's post it now because he was so right. What we believe is in our hearts. It's written on our hearts. We don't need talking points because we live the American dream. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. We are remembering Rush Limbaugh and somebody who worked with him, somebody who I last saw in a cigar bar, and we chatted about all things media and radio, is our first guest on our third hour, Rusty Humphries. He is the man behind the Rusty Humphries Rebellion podcast. Welcome to America First.
Well, thank you. It's an honor talking to you again, my friend. It's been a while.
It has, and I think we find you on vacation somewhere, and I'm really impressed with your dedication. So tell us, you've worked with some of the biggest names, not just Rush Limbaugh, Casey Kasem, Dick Clark, you name it. What did you do for Rush?
Well, that was kind of an interesting one. I was doing a morning show on a radio station in New York called WPLJ. I was on the FM. And Rush was on the AM. And at first, everybody thought that we were playing a joke on everybody, that I was his son. Because we're both a little heavy, and when he was a kid, his name was Rusty. And so everybody thought that we were, you know, joking around, and we thought that was pretty funny. And we were sitting around the production room one day, which is where they make commercials, and we were just talking. And he ripped into a Howard Cosell impression. This is Howard Cosell. I go, Rush, you're funny. You need to do more funny stuff. What would I do, young man? Right? What would I do? So I don't know. It was right before the first Gulf War. And I just done this song called Bomb Iraq. Bomb, 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 bomb Iraq. I said, play the song and just see what happens. Or how would I introduce it? I don't care. Just say it's a Rush Limbaugh Singers or something. Just play the song. So he plays the song and he gets this incredible response. And so after that, he comes into the room, and he's running, he's kind of huffing and puffing, and what else can you do? What else can you do? I do a stupid Mike Tyson impression. Let me hear it. Hello, McDaniel Bowles. Let me kick some butt. Come on, McDaniel. Come on. Call the other room. Call me. Call me. Call me. Ladies and gentlemen, the former heavyweight champion of the world, Mike Tyson, on the Rush Limbaugh Show. Hello, McDaniel Bowles. I'm very sorry I'm tardy. Yes, Mike, why are you late? I was running down the street, and I saw the sign that said clean rep through the head. I must have cleaned about 150 of them. So he thought that was pretty funny. We laughed about that. He gave me $9 $100 bills. Keep them coming, young man. Keep them coming.
He gave you what?
So I did.
He gave you what?
$9 $100 bills.
My, oh, my.
$900.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very, very nice. So you helped him out. You did impersonations. Tell us what it was like to work for El Rushbo.
You know, Rush was much quieter and shyer in person than you would probably imagine.
No, I know.
He was, he's always working. I mean, he was, you know, chain smoking cigars, but he was always very nice. He was always very generous. I think the thing that really spoke to me is I did a documentary on radio years ago, Sebastian, and I interviewed him, and I said, so when you were a kid and you dreamed of someday becoming a radio star, and now you've become the biggest radio star in history, what's different than what you thought it would be? And he said, it's not as much fun.
It's not as much fun.
Yeah.
Why? Did he say it's less fun?
Yeah, he thought it would be parties and fun and, you know, hanging out with all the fun people, but it was a lot of work. You know, going on the radio and talking 3 hours a day, as you know, you don't just turn on a microphone and just start talking. And then, you know, this is a guy that wherever he went had to have security with him. And, you know, the left took a lot of the fun out of it.
What was special? You are a radio man through and through. Give us your take. I've been asking it. We opened the show with Mark Stein. We've been listening to what the president said about Rush yesterday. What for you was unique that made him the most successful radio host in radio history, Rusty?
You know, he took, as I hope this isn't too cliche from the other people you talked to, but he took the best parts of 1970s top 40 radio, entertainment, music. Nobody played bumper music in talk radio before him. It was all guys like, you know, Michael Jackson, very stiff, very educated, very very proper, very Sebastian Gorka-ish. However, you've got entertainment with you. They didn't have that, and Rush brought that to talk radio.
So he made it
and then
fun.
Gave a voice. He made it fun. And, you know, I don't know how many people remember how big he was. You know, during the early 90s when I was working with him, he was doing concert tours every weekend. He had a TV show up against Whoopi Goldberg, which drove him crazy. but, you know, this was a guy that was, you know, at the peak, the height of not just radio, but of media, and he changed it all, and he did it in a way, he did it out of love, and you know, I've been so disappointed in seeing comments on my Facebook page and other Facebook pages on, yeah, I'm glad he's dead, and horrible, horrible things like that. This was not a mean man. You know, you can point, you know, the top 15 worst things Rush Limbaugh ever said, which I saw a column, something like that. It's like, I read every one of them, and it's like, he was joking. They forgot to put the smile in his voice as he was saying these things. This wasn't, you know, he wasn't a serious, mean human being. This is a guy that loved America. He loved other people. He loved other races. He didn't care about that stuff.
No.
And so, you know, I wish that was more of the message being heard today.
We're talking to Rusty Humphries, who worked as, you know, just a an assistant comedian, somebody who made Rush's show even funnier. Follow him at Talk to Rusty. That's the number 2, Talk to Rusty, and check him out at rustylive.com. Rusty, I have to ask you this because we did our opposition research here, and we found out that you did something in the land of my birth which led to you being banned for life from the Parliament of the UK, and I need to know what you did.
Oh, geez. I went in with a report. I'm blanking on the MP's name. He was a guy who went to his office, and he was Minister of Parliament, and he had Castro and Arafat dolls. And
was it Michael Foot? Was it the head of the Labour Party?
No, it was somebody that came to America. I'm sorry, I'm blanking on it.
Go ahead. Okay.
But this is a guy. This is a guy who has had a shrine in his office to Arafat and Castro.
Wow.
And I had just gotten back. I just met with terrorists in the West Bank, and so I was pretty up on all this stuff. And we were talking to him about, and Aaron Klein was there. Do you remember? Do you know Aaron Klein?
Yes.
Okay, so Aaron Klein was there, a great journalist, and
we've got 60 seconds left. Give us the nuts and bolts.
Okay. Anyway, so he we talked about Arafat, and he was saying that he wasn't a terrorist. And as we were interviewing him, he said that we lied to get in, so we called the police and brought them and said we came in on false pretenses and then tried to make it seem like we were trying to injure him, and so we got banned from Parliament for life.
Wow. When a terrorist sympathizer gets you kicked out of the Palace of Westminster, of course you put it on your resume. And of course it's Rusty Humphries. Congratulations and thank you for sharing your reminiscences of Rush Limbaugh. Follow this man, rustylive.com, and on Twitter, Russ Talk to Rusty. That's the number, talk to Rusty. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you live from the relieffactor.com studios just outside the insalubrious swamp that is Washington, D.C.
I know there are idiots on other cable news channels that will say, well, you know, this mom and pop store was vandalized during the summer riots, and that's just as bad as the United States Capitol being vandalized. No, jackass, it's not. The capital of the United States of America is the center of American democracy. And while I am a fierce believer in people's right to defend their private property, I'm not going to confuse a taco stand with the United States Capitol.
You arrogant piece of garbage. Who do you think you are, Joe Scarborough? And what is it? I really talk about people's physicality. What is it with his wrists? Did you see his wrists? He has the most dainty little spindly. When somebody's shirt cuff is four times the size of their wrist, there's an issue there. Not exactly a manly man. But the fact because you were a congressman sometime some galaxy ago. Congress is more important than somebody's taco stand. You arrogant pile of effluent. Who the hell do you think you are? Somebody who's invested their life in a business that they built. Not making money on how blonde they dyed their hair yesterday so they could sit in front of a television camera. You make America vomit, Joe Scarborough. And your dumb accomplice next to you, giggling when you use a little naughty word. What are the ratings for Scarborough's show? Let's stay in the same vein of cretins in front of cameras. That's a good title for a segment. Cretins in front of cameras. Let's listen to Joy Reid with her analysis of the biggest radio show in human history. Joy Reid, video cut 7.
Rush ultimately got his way. Rush Limbaugh reached millions of listeners via his golden microphone, with his shows airing in small stations out in rural America that even Fox News couldn't reach, hardening rural white listeners and weaponizing white male grievance. It was the perfect inheritance for a president who would take Rush-style politics right to the White House and ultimately pin a Presidential Medal of Freedom on one of the GOP's real architects.
Real? small rural stations. God, Jeff, why did you make me play that cut of Scarborough? Did you like getting me pissed and angry?
I thought it was interesting.
He does this on purpose, doesn't he? Doesn't he? He knows how to press my buttons. Okay, analysis. You're a radio pro too. Rush broadcast to small rural stations. Your response, Mr. G.
He did that too, and then pretty much every popular AM station in every major city in America as well.
Yeah, thank you very much. Every significant radio station in, I don't know, New York, Chicago, Philadelphia. Joy Reid, another imbecile, cretinous moron. Making me angry. Okay, let's have some fun. I was really excited to wake up this morning. Why? Because they promised me, every flipping channel promised me 4 to 6 inches of snow. I'm a big kid. Our dogs love, they walk through the snow trying to eat it, try lap it up as they run. It's just too much fun. And it's great because nobody knows in DC how to drive. So they're all cowards and they stay at home and you can just have fun on the roads. I woke up and there was no snow. There was no snow. Everybody, every weather authority said there was going to be 4 to 6 inches of snow. Nothing! A dusting! And here's the excuse. I was listening to WMAL this morning. This is John Matthews earlier today. Audio cut 8. This is why they got it wrong. Play cut.
Today's storm that has ended up dropping more sleet than snow just goes to prove computer models don't know it all.
The forecast models were pretty consistent in showing a pocket of warmer air aloft moving in by around 10 a.m. And obviously that happened earlier than the models were showing, and so earlier than the forecast was expecting.
Oh, okay. A small pocket, they said this, a small pocket of warm air canceled the snow. Interesting. But AOC can predict the weather. Little Greta can predict the weather 11 years from now. The best professionals with hundreds of satellites in orbit taking radar images of the clouds and the temperatures can't get a forecast right 14 hours before it occurs. Oh, but the environment is going to collapse in 12 years because we have the certitude. Don't let them con you. Okay. I've polled everyone. Except, is he the youngest? No, you're the youngest, but you've got a beard. Doesn't count. Let's talk to Eric. Eric, who never listens to radio, we found out today. But he said he's heard of Rush Limbaugh. Is this true, Eric Lendrum?
This is indeed true. I first started listening to Rush consistently in my sophomore year of high school when I would drive to school in my truck because he'd be on the air during that time in the
morning.
Did you hear that?
Drop that. He lived in California, but he drove a truck because he's a conservative. So tell us, what does Rush Limbaugh's legacy mean to you?
To me, it means, well, first off, you think about, I'm looking back on his history and how long he was in this game, was the world of political commentary even really a thing in high demand before him?
No.
Like, because in addition to him, I grew up in high school watching Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly on Fox News. None of those guys would be popular or in high demand giving their opinion for an hour if it weren't for someone like Rush. And above all, going back to something that Shad said, he kept it so casual. He wasn't fine-tuned and political like Mike Pence when he was a radio host. And he's not loud and bombastic like certain others. He just spoke in very plain terms. So much so that I love this. He always reminded you, in subtle ways, he was a guy behind a mic. He liked to have his articles printed off on paper, like you do for show prep. And whenever he's reading an article and he finishes a page, you will hear him.
You heard it.
Stop talking, and you will hear the flipping of the paper, the rustling of the page in the microphone. It was just,
I try to avoid that. I try to avoid that. But, hey, he made it work, and that's why he was so genuine. That's who Rush was. Thank you, Eric. We've polled everybody. Talking of California, latest text. We have our text line up again, 703-869-1262, from Anonymous. Give us your name when you text us. Yeah! California just hit 1,680,000 signatures to recall Gavin Newsom. and they only needed, I think, 1.3. They said safety, have a safety of 1.5, and they are touching 1.7 million. In California, guys! Never give up. Never give in. It is possible. This is what Rush has left us. He made the Tea Party. He made MAGA. He made Trump possible. And maybe even the recall. Oh, did you know? Nancy Pelosi's nephew. Yeah, that's who Gavin Newsom is. Roll on, 2024. That's all I'm saying. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Next, the undisputed king of New England talk radio. The one, the only, Howie Carr. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
You're listening to America First with Dr. G.
There's only a handful of real talents, real characters in our business. One of them bears the title of the undisputed talk radio king of New England, best-selling author, good friend of America First. His name is Howie Carr. Howie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on, Sebastian.
You lived not far from where Rush did. You had him on your show at least once. Talk to us from your vantage point as one of the few real characters in talk radio. What Rush Limbaugh meant to you, and what his endearing, what his enduring legacy for America is.
Well, I think the first thing I would say is that he was the best lead-in any talk show host could ever dream of.
Right.
You know, he had the biggest audience, the most loyal audience, and he delivered the listeners to me at 3 o'clock on my show. And how can you not love a guy who does that? And he was an extremely generous guy. There've been all kinds of stories in the last 24 to hours or so about nice gestures that he made to people. You know, that I got a listener yesterday to my show who said right after he announced his diagnosis, her husband was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, and she wrote a note on the board that's at the internet website where you could wish Rush well. And this was a woman from Maine. And she sent him and said, my husband was diagnosed too. And about a week later, she got a package of goodies, books, and all kinds of products from his store and best wishes. I mean, he was just a really nice guy. You know, he had the hearing problem. He was basically deaf.
Yes.
But, I remember one night I saw him at a restaurant in Palm Beach, and he was there. And so I just went up to introduce myself and, you know, say, you're my lead. Thank you. And he was very generous, even though, you know how hard it is for someone who has a hearing problem to hear something in a noisy restaurant.
Right.
But, he didn't brush people off or pull a do you know who I am. He was always willing to help out. And, I think it was because, you know, he had been down and out in his early years, and, you know, he hadn't had a a rocket trip to the top of his profession. You know, he'd been fired over and over again, as he always liked to tell the story.
Seven times. You know? Yep.
Yeah. And he was just a good guy, and he worked so hard. That's the other thing. He never ever phoned it in. You know, you can spot people, especially yes. if you're you do it yourself. But even a casual listener can tell if a host is not prepared or a host is not into it. And that's another thing that made him a great talk show host is that he knew that he always had to be up, and that the only way to keep your audience was to keep a smile on your face, keep the glass half full. And so some people have a bad day, and it comes out on the show, and the audience drifts away. And he understood that because he was in radio from a very early age. You know, a lot of us in talk show hosts, we came into it from something else. I mean, you were in the academic world. I was a newspaper guy at Boston City Hall. You know, and Mark Levin was a lawyer. I
yes.
mean, he was in radio from day one, from when he was a teenager, when he was in high school.
No, he was. We was. We're talking to Howie Carr. Follow him right now on Twitter at Howie Carr Show and HowieCarrShow.com. In the last minute we have with you in this segment, he is irreplaceable. We know that. Everybody who's talking about a replacement doesn't know what they're talking about. But are you concerned for the future of talk radio after yesterday's news?
Well, I think, nature abhors a vacuum, and there's the old saying, the graveyards are full of irreplaceable men, and he's about as close to being an irreplaceable man as anybody, but something will always come along. The last words of Life of Johnson by Boswell were, there is no other Johnson, we must move to the second best, and that's what we have to do, but that's the nature of life. You can never replace a Babe Ruth or a Tom Brady or a Bill Russell. You know, you just have to make do, and that's what we have to do. And so I would, the only thing is, Sebastian, I would hate to be the first guy who fills in. You know,
right?
It's always
don't be that guy. Be that guy. There's only one Howie Carr as well. We're talking to the author of The Brothers, Bulger. Follow him on Twitter at Howie Carr Show. And also check out his website. Lots of amazing stuff there. HowieCarrShow.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Did you take your balance of nature today? We had a fabulous lunch here with the whole team. Right after our lunch we had a spicy chicken. It was superb. I had my balance of nature. 6 little capsules. 3 red for fruit, 3 green for vegetables. That gives you 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables. The things that you know you should be eating, that your mom said you should eat, and maybe you just don't get around to it. But you should. Be the healthiest you can be. Now, Dr. Douglas Howard is going to give you 35% off and free shipping on your first preferred order if you use my name. Go to balanceofnature.com, promo code Gorka, or call 800-246-8751. That number's super easy, but please write it down. 800-246-8751 or balanceofnature.com, promo code GORKA. Be the healthiest you can be. And when you order your Balance of Nature, on top of it, you get access for free at the end of the phone line to a health coach. Do it today. Balanceofnature.com, promo code GORKA.
And the biggest thing, though, is you remember when you and I, I shouldn't say it that way, as you remember, but when you and I talked last, we talked about, it's one thing to have the vaccine, which we didn't have when we came into office, but a vaccinator. How do you get the vaccine into someone's arm?
That was the town hall with sleepy, creepy Beijing Biden that was eclipsed by the events yesterday. We dedicated all 3 hours of the show to remembering Russia. We're still doing it today because he deserves it. But that was quite a stunning clip. The president of the United States saying, when I came into office, we had no vaccines, despite the fact that he was vaccinated on camera while Donald Trump was still president. I know somebody who might have an opinion of that. He's the undisputed king of talk radio in New England. Follow him right now at Howie Carr Show and HowieCarrShow.com, the author of The Brothers Bulger. Howie, I have to ask you, somebody who does this every day, who keeps his beady eye on the swamp, do they think we're stupid, or is this guy just senile?
They think we're stupid, and as President Trump said last night on Newsmax, either Joe Biden is lying or he's totally gone.
Right.
Or I think a third possibility is both. And, you know, a few minutes later, he said that there were 50 million vaccines available when he came into office. And then again, he changed his story, I think, a third time and said that went back to zero. And, you know, when I heard those sound cuts, I was thinking, man, I wish Rush were here to be commenting on this. But Sebastian, how about the other one? We said that the problem with getting the vaccines out to the communities of color, as they call them, was that blacks and Hispanics have a problem getting onto the internet.
We played it today. And you know, forget what would happen to a Republican if they say that you know, black Americans and Hispanics are too dumb to use the internet, what the repercussions would be. But doesn't this, let me just be clear here, Howie, and you can respond however you wish to. This idea that he's just an affable old guy, he's a bigot and always has been since Clarence Thomas, since, you know, he was lauding members of the KKK and Grand Wizards. The idea that this is a nice old geezer is just a tissue of lies, is it not?
It absolutely is. He talked about his warm relationships with the old senators from the South, the Democrats, the Stennises and the Richard Russells. These were guys who were involved in, trying to uphold Jim Crow, who were fighting the integration of the nation after Brown versus Board of Education. And they were his buddies. And he talked about how much he liked them. He said that he didn't want his kids growing up in a quote unquote racial jungle. How about that quote?
Yeah.
A racial jungle. You're right. He's always had this side of him that nobody ever wants to talk about. And it's so weird because, you know, here we have Donald Trump. You know, you're at Mar-a-Lago and he's having dinner with, Don King, the boxing promoter and ex-con. And, you know, he's the guy who integrated all the exclusive social clubs in Palm Beach. He was the first guy to let in not just blacks, but Jews and gay people. And yet he's excoriated as a bigot. And same with Rush. I mean, Rush, those horrible things that were said about him yesterday on social media, all that vitriol. Clarence Thomas was at his most recent wedding,
yeah.
I believe. He was friends with a lot of people that, normally conservatives aren't supposed to be dealing with. And I'm sure Joe Biden doesn't deal with them on a daily basis.
No, and it tells you so much. Just remember one thing. Who led the charge against the first black conservative Supreme Court nominee? It was Joe Robinette Biden. That's all you need to know about this man. Another individual who they are lambasting, attacking every single day because he's a good guy, because he speaks the truth, is our good friend Mike Lindell. 19 outlets have already boycotted him. They're trying to cancel MyPillow. Don't let them. You've done an amazing job last week. If you haven't done so yet, please send the cancel culture left a message. Go to MyPillow.com, order anything today to send them a message. If you use my name, Mike's going to give you 60% off. Call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com, promo code GORKA. Send the rabid left a message today. Support Mike Lindell. Howie, it seems as if the honeymoon for Biden is going to be a long one. That CNN is writing pieces about, you know, he likes to put his own log onto the fire in the Oval Office. Real hard-bitten reporting there. But there are signs in New York, for example, that Cuomo may be in trouble. Do you think the worm is turning? Are we going to see a sudden outbreak of real journalism from the mainstream media?
Well, in New York, it seems to be mainly confined, as it has been for a long time, to the New York Post.
Yes.
And the New York Times is still giving this a good leaving alone, this Cuomo scandal, as far as I can tell. And I think a lot of the fact that Cuomo is in trouble has to do with the fact that there's an even more radical who's warming up in the bullpen. The Attorney General Letitia James, I think her name is. Yep. She's the one who issued this first scathing report about him, and you could see a situation in New York next year, I think, where Cuomo and Schumer, the far left old white men, are going to be running against a tandem of Letitia Jones and AOC for the governor and Senate, respectively. That, I mean, Democrat on Democrat crime, Sebastian, what more could you ask for?
Well, they do say sooner or later the revolution does eat itself. So do you think we are primed for some kind of potential civil war inside the Democrat Party, Howie?
Yeah, Robespierre could tell them a long time ago how these things work out. The last one to have to climb to the guillotine is the person who started the whole revolution. It has been that way down through the ages, Sebastian. But they don't know much about history, just like they don't know much about the economy or about the climate or anything else.
Reminds me of a song, Don't Know Much About History. But you're right. There is a choice. The American Revolution vice the French Revolution. Only one of those is a good thing. Follow this man. Buy his excellent books, especially The Brothers Bulger. Don't go to that stinking thing called Amazon. Go to HowieCarshow.com. Follow him on Twitter at HowieCarshow. He's one of the greats. God bless you, Howie. Keep doing what you do. This is America First. I'm Sebastian Gorka, and we are broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, drug-free pain relief that actually works. How do I know that? I don't have a script. I've lived it now for 2 years. I had a lower back pain issue that had plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor. 2 weeks later, I was pain-free, and I'm still pain-free. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans, and it could be you. Just listen to Debron from Massachusetts. I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I am feeling. Thank you, Relief Factor. Don't you want to be able to tell that story? I know you do. Find out today if Relief Factor is the answer for you. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384. It'll be at your front door in 3 days or less. Take it 3 weeks long, and I guarantee you that by the end of that time, you will know if it works for you like it works for me, Debron, and thousands of your fellow Americans. That's Dr. G's guarantee. Do it today. 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com.
Hi, this is President Trump, and Sebastian is really a friend of mine. He's a great guy. He's been with me from the beginning. Listen to him. We all learn.
Thank you. Thank you, President Trump. Are you standing with Mike Lindell, another great supporter of the MAGA agenda? Did you get that number? MyPillow.com, 800-829-8468. Almost 20 companies are trying to boycott him. Support him today, 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com. 60% off if you use my name, G-O-R-K-A. So what is the lesson? What is the take-home of Rush Limbaugh? So many things. For our purposes today, let's focus at the end of this show on one thing. You matter. Every single one of you matters. Add to that the concept of perseverance. Why? Because this man was told, remember, he just started off as a guy who his dad, his granddad, wanted him to follow in their footsteps, become a professional, become a lawyer like they were. And he said, I'm going to do my own thing. And he never gave up. When he got involved, after working for a sports team, he finally got involved in radio many moons ago. And he was told again and again and again, his style is wrong. Nobody's going to listen to what you have to offer for 3 hours. And he didn't care. He just did it because he had personal conviction. He was fired again and again and again, more than half a dozen times. Did he give up? Did he go and do something else? No. He's stuck. And it's not the stay with your dream thing. That's great. That's great. It's a little bit kind of Pollyannish. I'm interested in the grit and determination that Rush Limbaugh showed us. Because in everything, you cannot find a segment. Imagine, I'm sure I could ask Shad to add it up, the hours of radio that Rush did. Just the tens of thousands, the hundreds of hours of radio. I challenge anyone of his detractors, anyone who thinks they're going to be the next Rush Limbaugh, anyone of the haters who's celebrating his death, the truly dark individuals who are celebrating it. Show me one segment, one little 3-minute segment where he wasn't genuine, where you could tell he was phoning it in. Didn't exist. And that's why he was important. That's why he mattered. And that's why you matter. Never give up, my friends. Be a little bit more like Rush every day. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Check us out at sebgorka.com. But most of all, keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.